Some movies are supposed to just die.
TBLS, Hell Yes, the Lifestyle's Baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller.
Hey, I had a dream about you. Why don't you come over and fuck me later?
Alien, the man, Jay Stew, and Bron Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever.
So he gets sucked out of his planet onto planet Earth. And one of the things that he has to do, other than just get the hell back to his home planet, is get a job.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. I'm the host. Thank you very much for joining us. Episode number 256 of the show. A special episode, a movie review episode, quite possibly the worst movie. I thought Face Off was the worst movie ever made, and we reviewed it here. But see, Face Off is the kind of bad that's funny. Some movies are just bad without, you can't, like, they're just too bad. So we'll get into that. You're going to probably want to remark on this one, and if you do, write this down. It's the email address. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. The voicemail number, 949-464-TBLS. Also, if you would like to rant about this on our subreddit, our Reddit moderator, I'm going to look right now, our Reddit moderator was bemoaning the fact that we only have 29... Oh, we still only have 29 subscribers. Looking for that 30th subscriber on Reddit. TBLS_podcast on Reddit. Get on there. I don't like that laugh. I am joined now, as always, by Ed Daly. Ed, what's up?
You said it. This is the worst movie ever made.
It's so bad.
And this is on a lot of our listeners, because we get some suggestions. Some are good.
Yep.
But a lot of people kept chiming in. What about Howard the Duck? What about Howard the Duck? Some movies are supposed to just die and be remembered as terrible.
And a lot of times we'll do a movie just based on the groundswell of support. And that's so, like, we did Fast Times at Ridgemont High. If you haven't. I'm not sure what number episode that is, but you should go back and check it out. And
great movie.
Primarily, the reason we did it is because people on Twitter and on our Facebook page and all around were like, hey, you guys got to do Fast Times. And also, close friend of the show, Travis Rogers, he is an expert in that movie. So we had him on. We did Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Kind of one of those movies that you would think is too funny to make fun of, but it wasn't. And it was
we were so talented that we made it good.
We were so good. We made a great review. So a lot of people have been hitting me up on Twitter, and they're like, Howard the Duck, you got to do this. Howard the Duck, do this. And I never saw it, but I remember it was a big bomb. I remember like George Lucas and George Lucas.
Yeah,
we need to go back and. Take a look at that legend.
Well, I love when all the losers, when the prequels came out, all the losers are like, he's ruining my childhood. And, you know, I found Star Wars entertaining as a kid. But if you listen to the dialogue, it was for children. It was terrible.
Yeah.
So when those adults listen to the dialogue in the prequels, they're like, wait a second. This is terrible dialogue. Because George Lucas is not good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah. How about Star Wars 1? Episode 6 or 4, whatever. New Hope.
Star Wars.
Yeah, how about Star Wars and Return of the Jedi having essentially the same exact plot?
Blow up the Death Star.
Blow up. Hey, look, it's another Death Star. Hey, we had a Death Star in the first one. What do we got in this third one? Oh, they fucking built another one. And also, this one has teddy bears. There's teddy bears. There's a whole planet full of teddy bears. And you guys fucking love that shit?
Yeah.
Fuck Star Wars. Fuck George Lucas. And especially fuck him for this. But my ire is reserved for someone else. Because while the listeners have been hitting us up for years, one in particular has been like, you got to do Howard the Duck.
I know. He must have told us like 20 times we got to do it.
Yeah. when are you going to do what you got to do, Howard the Duck? And I'm like, I've never seen it, but it's a tiny mascot that people just talk to like it's a real thing. And I'm like, that's got to be funny. So yeah, we could do that. But then one day out of the blue, I get this email. And it's from a close friend of mine, Jason Stewart. You may have heard him on The Bachelor Lifestyle here, as well as on some of our movie reviews. And he sends this email. He goes, hey, and it's like a group. He's emailed myself and Ed Daly. And he's got show ideas. And this guy, he's a radio producer. Like now he's a TV producer. Yeah, he's been around. He's done some acting. He's a good dude. But he hits me with this email. He hits us with this email. He's like, what do you guys think of doing Howard the Duck, doing a movie review of it? And I was like, oh, that's weird. It's now I'm getting it from both sides. I'm getting it from the listeners.
That was what put us over the edge. We were holding out. We'd been asked for years to do this one. We never did it. Then Jason.
Yeah. So Jason hits us up. And I'm like, well, now it's like confirmation bias. You know, it's like all of a sudden a third party has thrown tacit approval down on this Howard the Duck movie. And I go, well, I trust Jason. He's a funny guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Like having him on.
Of course.
And so then Ed, co-host of the show, Ed Daly, he, out of the blue, he watches Howard the Duck. And so we put this on the schedule. We're like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it, you know, first part of the year. This is last year we have this discussion.
Yeah.
So Ed's a proactive guy. He's not like me. I literally finished watching Howard the Duck 23 minutes ago. Ed Daly watched it like 3 weeks ago. And he sends me a text. He's like, dude, I just watched Howard the Duck, and I got to be honest. I don't think we can do it.
Terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. So I reach out to Jason, and I go, hey, Ed's got some concerns about Howard the Duck. And Jason says this to me, really? I've never seen it. The guy uses a formal means of communication. You send somebody a text, it's lighthearted.
Yeah, it's disposable. But
you send an email. Yeah, that's basically like a fucking certified letter written with a quill and sealed with one of those wax things.
Yeah,
it's
the stamps with the hot wax.
Yeah, the stamp. It's like he sent a raven. Like shit got real. And then I go, well, you had this idea to do this review, and he's like, I don't know, somebody suggested it, and I go,
what?
You mean like on Twitter? And he's like, yeah, I think
so. Probably the guy.
So I got fucking backdoored by our own listenership. The fans used Jason Stewart as a mule to smuggle in this terrible. He brought.
And it's not available streaming anywhere. So I actually had to pay money to see this.
Yeah, I had to pay $4 for this on Amazon. Jay Stu put Howard the Duck inside of his asshole and then brought it to me in an email. And
Maria Full of Grace us.
Yeah, I'm like Maria Full of Grace. He got out every single one of the condoms full of Howard the Duck. And we'd already agreed to do it. So now we've done it. Oh, no! And by the way, joining us now,
Maria Full of Duck.
Yeah. Jason Stewart. Jason, how are you? What have you got to say for yourself?
First of all, hello, everybody. And what did I miss? I haven't heard anything up until now. I'm joking. So let me clarify a couple of things, okay? You guys went rogue before the holidays and did like 9 movie reviews and only included me on one of them and Stevie Carbone on another one. And we were both, I guess, privately kind of put off. And then
so
when
this
people
was a
brought
sabotage
it,
move.
So when people brought it to our attention online, then we had to make it public.
You're not a regular listener?
I listen to every single episode, guys. Now,
every single episode that he's on, he listens to.
Yeah. So here's the deal with this. It wasn't a Twitter suggestion. It was a, you know, I when I do the episodes, when I do the movie reviews, I often tell friends to listen, suggest friends. And when people are going on long trips or something, I send them the links. And they often are entertained by our podcasts.
I fucking hate your friends, Jason. I hate your friends so much. And I hate monsters. Jason. And I hate Ed Daly's friends. All your friends are like, hey, listen to episode 356. Yeah. And minute 29, you said this one thing I thought was so funny. I got I got zero friends. That's probably the first part. But then B, of the very minimal amount of friends I have, none of them even fucking know. Hey, you still doing that podcast thing? Fuck those guys. Fuck your friends and fuck my friends. Okay, continue with
To me, the story, has an evolution to it. So you have the first person I contacted saying I'm looking to kill a few hours as we drive, to Northern California, and I said, here, why don't you listen to this podcast? You guys will like it. So my friend was driving with a friend. And that friend, after listening to two or three of our movie podcasts, had nice things to say about it. They laughed. And they said, you know what they should do? Howard the Duck. Mm-hmm. So I got a text from my buddy saying, you guys should do Howard the Duck. Such and such says you need to do that. So this is
you got a text and you turned it into an email.
I turned it into an email. That
text.
Yeah, he did.
I'm not sure why I did an email. I have no idea. But I will say that this isn't just some half-assed social media encounter with a stranger. This is a friend of a friend.
There's like a harpsichord playing in the background as he wrote that email.
People you know IRL are looking to sabotage my podcast. Is that what you're saying?
I if you look at it glass half full, you have a new listener was turned on to podcast.
I like that.
And then they turned on a new listener, and both of them will likely be listening to this one.
And the 800 are going to jump off after listening to this.
But I will say this. Before there was the internet and the term gone viral, jump the shark and everything's gone.
Did Magic Johnson invent that term?
There was something gone viral. There was something called what was it called? Hand to mouth? Ear to mouth,
word of mouth, word of
foot mouth. And mouth disease,
word. Foot and mouth,
ass to mouth. What is it called?
Oh my God, what is wrong with you?
So, word of mouth is spreading about the podcast. So I shouldn't be getting any shit about this. We're gonna do this as best we can, and then
the opening. Just as it opens, you hear that sad jazz music.
It's a lingering, long scene. Hold on. Let me play the trailer, and then we'll get into this movie. Because this movie is comprised of many, many meandering.
Yes. Much like the movie Roma.
Yes. Well, I haven't seen it. Hey, don't spoil Roma for me.
I enjoyed it, by the way, Ed.
Jason saw it in the theater.
The favorite, I'll give the thumbs up to. Roma,
I love the favorite. Well, we could do an Oscars pre-cast when that comes around. Okay, Howard the Duck. Hold on, let me read you the IMDb. Howard the Duck, a sarcastic humanoid duck, is pulled from his home world to Earth, where he must stop a hellish alien invasion with the help of a nerdy scientist and a cute, struggling female rock singer who fancies him. Directed by Willard Hike. Still with us. Let's see what else he's directed.
Can't imagine he got a lot of calls after this one.
He's directed four movies. None of them are Messiah of Evil, French Postcards, Best Defense, Howard the Duck. It looks like he's more of a writer.
Best Defense was a bomb. That was that movie. I think it was a Dudley Moore movie, and Eddie Murphy was really hot, and they put him on the poster, and he was in it for like 2 seconds.
Best Defense. Yeah, that's right. Now, what I had read in doing some of my homework for this was one of George Lucas's buddies. Like he had worked on other projects, and George Lucas like threw him a bone and said, "Direct this film." And I think it was the last thing.
The Jar Jar Binks of directors.
Yeah, he's the last. This is the last movie he ever directed. Yes, he wrote American Graffiti. He also wrote more American Graffiti. He wrote Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh,
yeah.
kind of like which was
the worst Indiana Jones, right?
Is that the one with Sean Connery?
That's the one where he pulls out the heart. I mean, for a kid, that was as badass as it gets.
The worst Indiana Jones, though, of all three. You're right. The last one sucked. Grandkid or the son.
That doesn't count.
But between Best Defense and Howard the Duck and the Temple of Doom, he was just like one dud after another in the 80s.
I'd say 0 for 3. This guy sucks. He wrote it and directed it. It looks like he had some help. You know, it's probably one of those things where they gave it to a few people to write. Oh, it's based, and I'm not sure if I knew this till I was getting ready to watch it. It's based off a fucking comic book. Thanks, nerds.
It's not just based off a comic book, dude. It's the very first commercially made Marvel movie. Now, if you look through the prism of 2019, you would think, wait a minute.
There's like 19.
Yeah, Marvel movies are everything now. They made this as the very first Marvel movie was this piece of shit. And they didn't touch a Marvel movie for many more years after this. Marvel was insignificant back then, and it's hard to think of that given how popular it is right now.
Well, because the technology needed to catch up. Anybody that's seen Howard the Duck, where it's a fucking mascot walking around, he looks like a mini version of one of the Chuck E. Cheese characters that's in the band.
Yeah.
He's got the same, awful, like those animatronic eyes. So bad. This thing costs $30 million to make,
which was a lot back then.
Yeah,
it was a huge budget in the 80s. It grossed domestically $15 million.
I can't imagine even earning that in today's money. $15 million.
Yeah, it's kind of a shock.
You would think that putting George Lucas's name probably all over the trailer and knowing that it was a George Lucas movie, he was in his prime at this point. That probably got people through the door. Now, the hearsay, word of mouth, foot to mouth probably ruined it, and the critics panned it. But I'm guessing that those people just went through the turnstiles for George Lucas, right?
Maybe. The $15 million worth. Yeah. This guy, this is George Lucas's baby. He wanted to make this. They made it.
Even if you're into comic books, this couldn't have been a good one.
No, it's like Spider-Man
solving crimes and swinging on his web. What could this have possibly been as a comic book? Terrible.
Yeah, totally. The cast, Leah Thompson, the one saving grace of this film. There's one scene in particular that I was just something. I just watched it like an hour ago, and something stirred in me at one point in this movie. I was actually stirring something with what stirred in me. Leah Thompson, Jeffrey Jones, Ed Rooney.
Yeah.
Who is...
Good actor.
Pretty good actor.
Better ass, but a good actor.
Yes. He's got some
good in Amadeus.
A young Tim Robbins.
Yeah, pre-Nuclealoosh.
Pre-Nuclealoosh. What had he done even before this? Let's look at his IMDb.
This is pre-Hudsucker Proxy. This is pre-everything.
I mean, the interesting thing about this is that he did a lot of things prior to this, but this was also the year that he was Merlin in Top Gun, which is another podcast that we did. Mm-hmm. Same year.
Tim Robbins was Merlin?
He was just like I don't even know if he had a speaking role, right? He just was kind of...
Barely, yep.
Yeah, he was a Rio. This is right. So he did Howard the Duck just after Top Gun. And before that, it was mostly just he did an episode of Moonlighting.
Saint Elsewhere down there.
Yeah, Hill Street Blues, The Love Boat, Santa Barbara, which is a soap opera. Hardcastle and McCormick. There's one. That's back when if you did a crime, your sentence could be you have to go live with the judge that sentenced you. He was also in a TV series called Leg Men.
What?
Which had exactly one viewer, my good friend Telly Two Putts, who's announced to the world that he's a leg man. I'm a leg man.
That sounds like an SNL sketch. Hey, leg man. Ooh. Yeah,
who's a leg man? There's no leg man.
Hate to see her leave, but love to watch her go.
Legs. Yeah, so this is basically his first real thing, and he's terrible in it. And then Howard the Duck. I was reading that Howard the Duck is – what's that?
Who was in the costume?
Some guy called Ed Gale was supposedly Howard the Duck. But if you look on the IMDb, there's about 7 different people that played Howard the Duck, not including the guy that did the voice. Oh, was Ed Gale the voice? No, he's a little person, but it looks like a whole bunch of little persons. So I guess they use different little people at different times because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 physical actors that played Howard the Duck plus I was wondering about that when they were doing the air scenes towards the end. Also, a couple little there's a lot of like 80s actors that you would recognize that pop up here and there. Like there's just one guy that always plays a lawyer on like Law and Order and stuff. And I think he was somebody's dad on something. He plays the cop. And Holly Robinson Pete is there. She's in Leah Thompson's band.
It's funny. I was 3 weeks ago, and I've blocked almost all of it already.
Yeah, you're smart too. Okay.
So what this movie didn't do that at some point Hollywood started to do, but this was back in the mid 80s when they hadn't started doing it yet.
Started cocaine for sure.
Yeah, definitely. True. A lot of cocaine involved in the making of this movie.
But no matter if it's an animated character or something like this, which is like a cross between animated and real action, whatever the hell this character was, the casting usually casts somebody with a huge name nowadays. Like it doesn't matter that you never see them on camera. The voice is what sells it. They chose not to do that. And they did like you said, I think 3 or 4 different characters or voices or what have you. But like,
This would be like the guy from Big Bang Theory would have the voice.
Exactly. Right. That's right. Yeah.
But if you flash forward to the next time that Howard the Duck is on in a film, it was in Guardian of the Galaxy, and Howard the Duck is featured like in that movie a little bit. But to prove my point, there's a raccoon in that Guardian of the Galaxy, and I forget his name. I'm not a Marvel nerd, but.
But he's like a wisecracking raccoon like Howard the Duck.
And it's played by Bradley Cooper, maybe the biggest star on the planet.
Huge.
Now, you never see him, or even he even changes his voice so much that you don't even know it's him.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
At some point, they figured out, just if you put his name in the credits, that's what gets people through the door, right?
Do you think that when they hired Bradley Cooper, that was part of the selling point? They're like, hey, like you can come. You can be in this movie, but don't worry. We're just going to record your voice, so you're not going to be on screen. So you can just do the entire movie from the closet.
Is that your theory too?
I only saw part of one of them.
Did you? Because then it's like that's probably more comfortable for him if he doesn't have to be. He just has to record his voice, so he could go and just go to where he's comfortable, like his closet, and do the thing. So that's an idea. Okay, let's check out the trailer. This will tell you everything you need to know about the movie.
Sea of stars lies another world, a world almost exactly like ours. This is where he lives. He's 27 years old, single, but searching. Favorite sports, windsurfing and Aikido. Favorite pastimes, cigars, and sex. He has everything, except fulfillment. And then one night, it happens.
Hey, good buddy, are you home?
I totally had this answer machine, by the way. And I do like that they set him up as a real, like, duck playboy. He's like, he's got messages on his answering machine from some duck chick that's like, hey, I had a dream about you. Why don't you come over and fuck me later? And like, he's like checking out Playboy, and it's kind of gross.
Because
they're not, this is another thing. He doesn't look very much like a duck. Like, he's got the bill, but he's got a little human shaped body.
Yeah.
Like, he even has knees.
Female ducks have areola.
Yeah, that was really gross. And they look like they have implants. The whole thing's gross. Okay, let's get the rest of the trailer.
He has a very sudden midlife crisis. He lands in Cleveland.
You do know why you were sent to me?
Listen to me, small visitor. I can explain how you got here.
Maybe you're here for some greater purpose, some cosmic cause.
Here, he's forced to his career goals.
You went to med school?
To explore new relationships. To redefine his self-image.
I'm sorry, we don't allow pets on the premises.
To adjust to a changing lifestyle.
Oh, I pull it off.
Until he discovers just who he really is.
Oh, no.
A duck in big trouble.
That's a duck, man.
Howard the Duck, trapped in a world he never made.
Oof.
Coming from George Lucas, a Willard Hike film, Gloria Katz production.
The Willard Hike. Yeah, so that's the trailer. So this thing starts off. You heard a little bit of it there in the trailer.
Yeah, that sad jazz. It sounds like an episode of Quincy is about to start.
Yeah, it's lit like film noir style. He's supposed to be like a Humphrey Bogart type of dude. Like, he comes in, he's got the old timey 40s mini suit on, and they kind of slow play it.
Post old like movie posters, but WC Fowls and May Nest. Like, it's all these cheesy puns. It's really bad.
Those things are littered throughout the movie, and they do not help. Yeah, he's cruising in. He's a Budweiser man, which I like. He cracks a beer. Yeah, Bud Heavy. He's get a lot of product placement in this. No one drinks anything but a Budweiser throughout the entire movie, which kind of takes you out of it. He's obviously getting off work. He's got answering machine messages. He sits down in a chair. He's checking out his duck Playboy. I can't remember what that was called.
Playfowl. No, it's Play Duck.
No, it's Playfowl.
No, Play Duck.
Are you sure?
I think it was called Play Duck. It may be the most unoriginal name or pun in the entire movie. And full of horrible puns, Play Duck.
Google that for us. Google that for us. Yeah, he's just chilling. He's sitting in his chair. He's figuring out what he's going to do that night. Throws on the TV. And they don't really show him except in shadow at first. And you're getting – like, he turns on his TV and it's all duck.
There's an album in the background. I guess he's a musician because it says Howard and the Heartbreakers.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, he's got like a copy of his album, Howard. Yeah, because you're not sure. I wasn't sure at first. I'm like, because there's a Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I can't remember what they called that.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Egg or something.
Yeah, and it's a picture of looks like him, and I'm like, oh, is he supposed to be like some movie star? I'd never seen this, and so I didn't realize that he lived in like a world of ducks until he turned on the TV, and I'm like, oh, right, it's all ducks there. And then he gets like tractor beamed. He's like sitting in his chair, and he's like, earthquake! Like, everything starts shaking, and shit's falling off the walls and shit, and it's like, oh my god, the big one. And then all of a sudden, a laser. Or like a tube of light blasts through his wall and picks him up in his chair.
It is Play Duck, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Confirmed. Oh, it is Play Duck. Well, I like Playfowl better. And it sucks him through the wall and then through space and into, you know, through time and space.
Well, first,
and
he goes through apartments. I think you see like naked ducks.
There's duck titties in one. Yeah, he lives in an apartment, so he gets like sucked through the building through all. He doesn't have an end unit. So he gets sucked through all his neighbors, which is kind of weird.
What was the rating on this film?
F-.
It was rated PG, I think. And
yeah, I mean, there's not really a lot of cussing or titties.
Right,
there's no titties, unfortunately.
With all the innuendo and stuff, especially back then in a more innocent time, like that, I think that might be the crux of this movie. It's not a kid's movie. But it's not an adult movie. Like, it's somewhere right in between. Because they go for
the
sex
audience?
Thing all the time. There's all this
innuendo. I guess it's for, like, 13-year-olds? It's lame for 13-year-olds, too. There's no audience.
Obviously, yeah.
There
wasn't
an audience, yeah.
I would have been around that age when it came out. You know, I was, like, 11. And I definitely – I remember thinking,
I remember
that might be good.
I saw it at like a sleepover like we rented it and then just bailed on it. I just remember knowing it was bad, but I couldn't remember a thing about it.
Yeah, it's a real piece of shit. So yeah, he gets sucked onto Earth, and he gets deposited in Cleveland.
In Cleveland.
Yeah, and it's like a kind of a seedy part of town, you can tell. And he immediately
it's like a gay biker gang that surrounds him when he lands.
Yeah, and they like grab him and pick him up. Anybody that's shocked to see a talking, it looks like a Three Mile Island duck. It's like doesn't look. It's weird that everyone goes, "Oh, that's a duck," because he doesn't really look that much like a duck, and he walks on two legs and shit. So these like bikerish dudes or punks, like Hollywood punks, like pick him up and they're like, "Hey, let's bring this thing in the bar with us." And they go in the bar, and then he immediately gets thrown out because they're like, "We don't serve pets or something," and then or no kids or something, which is weird. If you thought it was a kid, that you would open the door and just fling the kid out into the street. Right?
By Leah Thompson singing in a cage for some reason.
Yeah, it's like Blues Brothers, like Bob's Country Bunker, where you're singing, but you have to be behind chain link, or else the bottles they throw will hit you in the face or something.
And every time every time Leah Thompson and her band's on, I kind of put myself in the shoes that she must have been thinking and feeling this at the time. Like, I'm in a George Lucas film. This was like a $32 million budget, and I get to sing on a soundtrack. I mean, this is going to go like international sensation, this soundtrack. Like, every time I like see how much heart she's putting into her songs and stuff, I really think that she was under the impression that this was going to be her big crossover moment.
I wonder about that. I feel bad. I've had some moments too while she was supposedly up there playing with her band, because she clearly doesn't play guitar, and which is fine, but she's miming that she does play guitar. But meanwhile, she's got a full band and everyone else has guitars and basses and drums and keyboards and shit. Why couldn't she just be the singer? Because she's the singer of the band. Do we need to also make her a guitar player? I feel like that really ratchets up. And Jason Stewart, you're a big star. You've acted in lots of Lifetime movies. It's if you got to be doing something like playing the guitar, that's fucking twice as hard as just doing the pantomiming, singing a song. So I thought that was kind of a bummer for her. Bummed me out.
It's a good point. These are original songs. Like, somewhere along the way, there is a cassette tape that's a Howard the Duck soundtrack. These are original songs. I think that they said this is going to be a part of the package deal. It's going to be worth billions of dollars worldwide at the end of this, and it's got a soundtrack. It would be like the next Saturday Night Fever or something.
So I'm just looking at I was thinking that too. I was just looking. Well, the song, the theme song, which plays at the end, which I have here and I will play at the end
Howard
of the podcast.
Howard the Duck?
Howard the Duck, very on the nose. I remember that song being played on the radio as a kid.
Really?
But all the songs many of the songs were composed by the great Thomas Dolby.
Oh, my God.
Blinded me with science.
That explains it.
Yeah. So how about
when they toss Howard into the alley and then this women biker gang, Satan sluts, like, try to kill him.
Yeah, that was.
And then they just went away. It was weird. Like,
it's a little. It was kind of like a Mad Max-ish scenario. I'm like, is this like our Cleveland? Because I was confused because it was very rugged. And then there's like a living, what I guess you could say is an animal, because he is a duck, and he's like in the road, and there's all these chicks on motorcycles, and they don't like even try to move or go around him or anything. They just keep on driving, and he like flops up in the air and lands on one of their laps on the motorcycle, which I thought was kind of weird.
Satan Sluts.
Yeah, Satan Sluts was the girl biker gang.
At some point in this biker scene or in the bar or somewhere, he has to beat people up, like multiple people up, right?
Bunch of times.
It's the first time in this.
Remember his hobbies. One of them is Aikido, Steven Seagal's.
Okay, so
yeah, the made up one.
But it's pretty clear that even though that this is a Marvel comic, you know, which is associated with superheroes and stuff, I just assumed that Howard the Duck was like this little ass kicking duck. Like he was gonna save the planet. It becomes very clear early on that he's a little wimp who can't fight. And anything that he gets out of, he just kind of squirms out of because he's too small.
Well, that's yes and no. Because so he's like eventually like thrown in, he hides out in like a 50-gallon drum, the kind that Walter White would deal with bodies in. And he's just like is kicking there and he's like, ah, and I kind of felt for him. I'm like, I would probably want to rest too if I were him. And so he's just like kicking it in this 55-gallon drum. And then Leah Thompson's concert ends, and for some reason the prescribed route home is A, walking in Cleveland at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and two, she needs to go down a very dark alley to get home.
Under a bridge, I think.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a very it's like just shitty and gross and there's trash everywhere. And she's walking by, and then there's a couple rapists there.
Yeah, well, a guy wearing leggings.
Yeah, they really like new waved him up for this. And so these two guys are like, hey, let's do some raping. And so they're like throwing her down, and they're like, you know, you never felt like there was any, because it must have been PG, because you never really felt like there was any actual raping about to go down. And so Howard the Duck jumps out of his 55-gallon drum, and he's like, okay, I'm going to fuck these guys up. And it was really – this Howard the Duck had all of these one-liners throughout the movie, and each one was exponentially less funny than the one before. Right. And the one it started out with, it was in this scene where he says, that's it. No more Mr. Nice Duck.
That was – that's how imaginative the scriptwriter was. Like, anytime they were in a bind for something to name something and they needed something to replace man or woman, they just threw in duck.
It's yeah, so
all
bad.
All the things around his apartment were like these cheesy duck crammed in there.
And she opens his wallet and it says, like, he's from his driver's license says Marshington, D.C., and his. His driver's license is like Master Foul or something.
Yeah, when the glammed up thugs run away after the cheesy kung fu act, the guy goes, "I've been doing too much toot."
Yes, that's right. Yes, yeah, that I'm like as if of all people, the producers of this movie who were in the middle of doing a line while he said that line or while they wrote that line could have come up with something better than toot.
Now,
anyway,
we're like 15 or 20 minutes in the movie, Brian, and my first question of the entire thing hasn't been answered yet. They haven't even come close to explaining why he was zoomed from his planet to Earth. They haven't even come close to that. And
we do find out.
Okay, we kind of find out, and it's very confusing to me either way.
Yeah,
I heard the explanation.
I'm still not sure what they were doing.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And think about this. For those who don't want to watch this movie and just want to listen to this, it's a duck planet where they do every single thing that humans do. It's a mirror planet to us. It's an alternate planet, but they're all ducks. So even though he's going to a brand new planet, it doesn't have that thing, that like alien thing that most like movies have where they're unfamiliar with things. He's like very familiar with just about anything
in Cleveland
because he's used to doing it. Yeah.
Except he doesn't know what pizza is for some reason. But he's very familiar with fried eggs.
And he's really bummed out about the rain. He's a duck.
I thought that too.
Water off a duck's back. What?
He saves Leah Thompson from a raping. Oh, and his Aikido skills or his martial arts, he makes Mr. Miyagi look like Bruce Lee.
See, he makes Seagal look like Bruce Lee.
Yeah, I mean, he's so tiny and he's like, hi, yeah. And the guy's like, yeah. And I mean, you would just pick him up and fling him. Like, just get out of here. whack, I got raping to do, and just fucking kick him out of the way.
Right.
But he ends up fucking up the guys. I mean, Leah Thompson helps too. She's whacking a guy with a crowbar and shit. But then she's like, all right, see you later. And he's like, all right, cool. And yeah, he goes to leave, but it starts to like lightly drizzle. And right. She opens up an umbrella and's like, I'm out of here. I mean, but it's lightly drizzling. And he's like, oh, fuck this. I can't go out in the rain. He's a fucking duck. He's got feathers.
All he does. Water.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So only is he does he not have super qualities, like superhero qualities, he doesn't even have like regular duck qualities.
Yes, he's got the worst of both worlds.
And he's got the worst personality of a human. The worst.
Yeah, he's a dick.
She brings him into a massive loft apartment for somebody who's playing shit gigs in a cage.
Right. He's like this thing
and he shits all over her apartment.
Well, but he's kind of right. He's like, what's up with this shithole? And she's like, it's all I can afford. And yeah, it's a huge loft with like views and shit. It's just a mess. You could afford to fucking clean it up, bitch. Like, you're not like, that's not part of the rent. Like, it would be pretty nice if you just picked up all those paper plates and newspapers and shit.
I have a feeling I know what the, what Cleveland was called in his planet.
Duckland.
Oh yeah, nice.
So then there's first of many long, boring expositional scenes.
Tuck would be called Duck in his Duck universe.
There's lots of bad dialogue.
He calls her doll.
Yeah, he speaks like he dresses like it's the 40s. Maybe it's the 40s on his planet because he does like he wears like tweed suits. Tweeds, three-piece suits and stuff. But then she's like, so she brings him home and he's like, give me a beer. And then he's drinking a beer and then he falls asleep in like her little bay window alcove. And then this bitch, she starts going through his wallet. Yeah. She's like a little thirsty for that duck dick. And she's looking through his wallet and she finds a little, and I don't know how they do it on Howard's planet, but she finds an unpackaged loose duck rubber. There was like a little ductum in his wallet. And I don't feel like that was the safest way. It was out of the wrapper. So they're trying to figure out. He spends the night. And then the next day, she's like, I know what to do. I'm going to take you to go see my friend. He's a scientist. And that's Tim Robbins. And again, there's so much more bad dialogue on the
I wrote this down. When she sees him sleeping and she finds the condom that's unwrapped, she says, what am I going to do with you, ducky?
Yeah, she's going to fuck him. She wants to fuck him.
Puts him in a garbage bag and brings him to the museum.
And then she's like dragging him along.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, once he's out of the bag, no one's really that shocked to see. It's not like they're like calling the government that they see this mutant duck walking around. They're like, oh, wow, look at that. It's a 3-foot duck.
And this is all an effort to help him out. And he's sassing the shit out of everyone he encounters.
Yeah, he's a little dick about it.
Like everybody. Oh, in his wallet, also another thing I wrote down, Mallard card instead of MasterCard.
Mallard card, that's it.
Good one.
Yeah, Tim Robbins has lines like, look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a duck. And don't flutter off in a huff. Stuff like that.
And he's wearing a bedazzled Ohio State sweatshirt. So
yeah,
might be a
That was kind of weird.
And by the way, Tim Robbins, I don't know if it could be over expressed. Like his character is so annoying. They told him to overcompensate and be the nerdiest of nerds, be annoying. And then I'm thinking this too, as I'm looking at the guy playing this nerd and anyone who would even come close to acting that way. And I'm thinking, this guy eventually has sex with Susan Sarandon.
Crazy.
But think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he seems like a real dork.
He was trying to help Howard, and Howard goes, "So, Filzy, Are you a scientist or a janitor? Like, who the fuck are you? You're a piece of shit duck. Are you shitting on janitors?
In Howard's defense, Tim Robbins did kind of misrepresent himself. Like, they're there and you think you're dealing with a scientist, right. And then all of a sudden the real scientists are like, hey, like, we need you
out of the room.
Yeah, we need you to mop up the jizz on the third floor bathroom, and then after that, some kid puked in the natural history display. So get that, and you're all of a sudden you're like, wait, you said you're a fucking scientist, and then he's like, well, actually, I'm a research assistant or some bullshit. Like, he's still in college. So Howard's like, fuck this. He gets in a fight with Leah Thompson, and Leah Thompson, kind of a bad guy move. You could understand. The guy's just been vacuum laser sucked out of his own living room and deposited on a different planet. You could see he might be a little stressed out. And so he has a little bit of an outburst. Not that bad, but he's like, look, bitch, I don't need you. You're not helping. And she's like, cool, I'm out of here. And she just fucking leaves him.
That's right.
Well, that was right after he shit on that class trip. These kids came up to him to be nice, and he sassed them. Told him to fuck off.
They were ogling him. They were ogling his little duck body. I imagine that would be very annoying.
He was a duck. He should know. He's not. He doesn't belong there.
Yeah, people are gonna look. So then he goes and goes to get a job, and he goes to one of these like job services, and immediately the woman that works there is like real mean to him, but also is like, I get it. I get. She thinks he's like some kind of weirdo.
But you have to think about what you just said, Brian. He goes and gets a job. Like, why the hell? Hold on a second. He gets sucked out of his planet onto planet Earth. And one of the things that he has to do, other than just get the hell back to his home planet, is get a job. He's got to go.
At a Jack Shack.
Yeah. A duck has to get a job.
Well, he was. He was making peace with, like, he's like, maybe I'm stuck on this planet, and if so, I need to get a job. Because he's not the kind of duck that can just go hang out at the park and forage and, like, eat grubs and shit, you know? He eats cheeseburgers and stuff, so he's got to figure that out. Yeah, exactly. He can't even deal with rain.
But before you get to the what he eventually did, are you going to talk about the actual recruiter, the person that gets him jobs? It's a heavyset black woman, right?
Right.
And she like bends over to get files or something. And he does just this disturbing thing where he's about ready to eat her ass or something, or bite her ass.
Yeah.
What is that all about?
He attempts to – she's real mean to him, and she's like, but I'm going to get you a job, so be ready. Because she assumes he doesn't want to get a job. That's why he looks so weird. And – So she turns around to like look at her papers, and he goes, "Arr!" And he tries to bite her ass, which is my buddy Telly Tuputz thing. It makes it clear that's why he wanted us to watch this movie, because of that ass eating scene. Stunning.
He's supposed to be the hero of the movie. Like, this is the thing that you're supposed to think is cute and pull for. But he does these little perverted things that just make him out to be this little fucking creep. Dick.
He's very creepy. Like, he wants to get some sex because, well, we'll get to that later.
He's a towel boy at the Jack Shack, Lava of Love.
Yeah, so he gets a job at the place Splashes. The place where Jason Stewart went on his blind date with that chick from Temptation Island.
Exactly right. It's a hotel of whirlpools. Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally. And his boss is Charles Nelson Reilly for some reason. And he's like, hey, go clean up that cum in there. And like, that's like his job. And then, but then Howard's like, must not have needed a job too bad, because he's like, fuck this. And then his boss is like bent over like a boiling hot tub that appears to be filled with liquid excrement, and he's pulling like a dirty, it looks like sewage, and he's pulling a dirty bra out of it, and he's like, I gotta get that fucking duck in here to clean this up. And he's bent over it, and Howard the duck comes in and just fucking pushes him by the ass and dumps him into the shit tub. What was going on there? Did that make more sense to you than me?
What was that? The guy gave him a job. He has no papers, no social security number. Or
he's got to get paid in cash. Yeah, the only way he can get paid is with cash.
How does he get direct deposit?
Yeah, exactly. If that existed in 1986, yeah. He couldn't have had it.
That was before or after he jumped into the hot tub with two naked people? Yeah.
No, he tossed it. I think the guy tossed him in.
Oh, he tossed
him in. Okay. He tossed him in. And
everybody, you can't sass people when you're 2'6". You cannot sass.
I like how the couple in the tub, though, a mutant duck gets thrown in with him, and the guy just keeps having sex with his prostitute like nothing's – he barely even notices.
Again, a PG movie, which implies made for kids, and there's a lot of innuendo that isn't even subtle.
It's crazy.
Yes. So he quits that job, and eventually he's like walking down the street and he's like, fuck, I'm a loser. And then he sees the chair from his living room and he's like, he sees the hole in the ceiling. He's like, oh, I'm right back where I fucking started in this crazy alley. And he looks across and there's the bar where Leah Thompson's band is playing their regular gig.
So
who's buying? And meanwhile, it's a packed house. Who's buying tickets to see this band? They're so bad.
Yeah. They're a poor man's Runaways. They're a poor man's Joan Jett.
Yeah, that's what they're going for.
And they're called Cherry Bomb, which is Joan Jett and the Runaways.
Right, exactly. So he goes, he heads into the bar, doesn't really have a problem getting in this time. He cruises up to the bar, he lights up a cigar, and he sees that the band's manager, who Leah Thompson has complained about, he's like at the bar, and he's skimming. He's like getting paid for their performance, but he's keeping all the money. And Howard's wise to that. And he's like, fuck that. He's going to settle a score. So he talks a big game. He's like, hey, look, here's what's up. You're going to give me Beverly's money or I'm going to fuck you up. And the guy's like, you're a tiny little duck thing. And he's like, you don't understand. Like, if you don't give me the money, there's going to be trouble. So then
I'm going to duck you up.
Yeah, then the band manager's like, hey, take care of this guy, Richie. And Richie's one of the guys that stole Cameron Fry's Ferrari when he was supposed to just be valeting it.
Country do you think this is?
Yeah, that's him. He comes over and he's like, oh, you're a little fucking duck. This is exactly what I would do to this duck. He grabs him and he flings him down the bar. I feel like this was this happened in every movie up until Howard the Duck. Like, there was never a movie that somebody didn't get slid down the bar and knock all the glasses off on their way.
Seems like it would hurt your back to do it.
It'd be hard, but not with a little ducky guy. It would be hard with a real human. So he flings Howard the Duck down the bar and he goes sliding all the way down the bar and he knocks all the glasses off and you're like, oh, that's the end of him. But he comes back and ends up beating all their asses. He does his duck keto. And he's like kicking guys in the head and shit. And then for some reason, this bar, they can't order their own crushed ice, or they don't have one of those ice machines. Every restaurant or bar I've ever worked at has had a big machine that just makes cubed ice, but they didn't have that there. So on the bar, there were loads of very sharp ice picks, just like the one that Sharon Stone used to kill that guy in Basic Instinct. And he fucks up the manager, and then he takes an ice pick and he goes like he's going to stab him, like at the end of Bad Boys. He goes like he's going to stab him and he stabs him, but twist, he just stabs him through his Michael Jordan style pirate hoop earring. And so he's like pinned to the bar with the ice pick, but then there just happens to be another ice pick. And he's like, ah, you don't have an earring in the other ear? He's like, I'll make a hole myself. And then that gets him to finally acquiesce and hand over all the money to Howard. Mm-hmm. And then relinquish control over Beverly and the band. Is that it?
Right? That was a dramatic scene.
The story of how that bad band lost their manager right there.
Yeah.
And
did
you guys notice? So he gets home from work and he sits down and gets sucked into another universe. Yet he's got many outfit changes and all these pants that have a hole for the duck tail.
So yes, that was weird. He would have had to find a seamstress that could do that part for him. But he did there was some exposition there that was explained when you went to get a job. Because, and this sometimes will make it tough to get a job, where he's like sitting there and she's like, I'm going to get your job. And he's like, yeah, because I had to shoplift all these clothes from the little kids section of the Goodwill or something.
Oh,
and
so he's, I missed that.
Yeah, that's where he gets his camouflage pants.
But he had to cut holes and sew it up.
For the tail, because the tail's always sticking out. So then he's hanging out with the band, and Holly Robinson's there, and then fucking Tim Robbins shows back
up. He's a real drag.
This was a strange thing. He brought pizza, and then there was also like a styrofoam thing on top. Looked like it was probably wings in there. Like that would be my guess, that there was wings. Maybe a salad, who knows.
Sticks.
But he brings pizza, and he sets it down. And then Howard's like, what's this? And he's like, oh, it's pizza. And he's like, what the fuck's pizza? And he explains, oh, it's an Italian flat thing. And then no one opens up the pizza. There's a fucking piping hot pizza in the room. And he just sets it down and everybody completely ignores it, including Howard, who's never had pizza. Imagine being able to introduce someone from another planet.
You need to try this.
I remember when I was younger, I was working at Marie Callender's, and some guy came in and he was like with a chick and he was foreign. And he's like, what is that? He like points at the pie case and she's like, that's pumpkin pie. And he's like, what the fuck is pumpkin pie? Oh. And she's like, you've never had pumpkin pie? And I'm like, hold on. Let me get you a slice. I was like, I'm giving this guy his first ever fucking piece of pumpkin pie. And here's this Howard the Duck. He's never had pizza. And they just leave it. They just let it sit. Also, there's six beers in a six pack. Those are fucking warming up. Like, crack those open.
Yeah, you just performed on stage. That's what you do after a show.
So Howard and Leah head back to her pad.
Uh-oh.
And this is really, like, this is the only scene you need to see. Like, Leah Thompson.
She starts showing she's cool. She's like, let's watch Letterman, which was cool.
Yeah. They get in bed together, and she's wearing, like, a camisole tank top. And little panties. And this is back in the day. You got to understand. These days, you cannot open your phone without seeing somebody's huge ass with the G-string right in your face. Back then, like the G-strings, I'm pretty sure were not invented. And it was purely the garb of a whore. Like no right. Self-respecting woman was wearing a G-string back then. And this Leah Thompson, she's in like the little panties that they used to wear back then with the little thin lace on the side, but it's not a G-string. It just covers
it was most string of the connector.
Yes.
String
Real
side.
Big fan of that. Did anybody else have a stirring in their loins like I did when they saw that scene?
I did. The only bummer were the calf-high Hanes sweat socks.
That was kind of weird. I didn't like that she was getting it, but it gets very cold in Cleveland.
This is true.
I was
so maybe she needed those wool socks.
I missed out on this. I was not a Leah Thompson fan back in the day, but that scene alone sold me on her. So
totally.
If she's in other movies where she's either naked or almost naked, like in that scene, then I should probably look those up. Cause I was never a fan either,
but I should have been.
Neither. I don't think she did had a lot of sexy roles is the problem.
Well, when she was Marty McFly's mom, she was Lorraine. Trying to sex him.
Yeah, she tried to fuck
herself. That's right.
And she also tried to fuck this duck. He's like, Howard's like, tries to put the moves. He's like, look, he's like, you know, I'm starting to get into the female version of your species. And she's like, what? And he's like, you know, like, kind of want to hit it. Like, why don't you bring that over here? And she's like, calls his bluff. And she's like, okay, let's do it. And she fucking starts taking off her top. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, she's going to fuck this fucking mascot thing. And I'm like, is this even allowed? This is crazy. And then all of a sudden, like a little bitch, Howard is like, oh no, yeah,
don't
take
off your top.
Yeah, like, oh no, don't show me those pert little titties and what's under those little panties. Like, he's like, I'm tired. I'm just going to go to sleep like a bitch.
It was kind of like
Howard had a chance.
Kind of like the last movie that we did was the Teen Wolf, when like Teen Wolf became Teen Wolf. One of the plushes that his dad told him was that you could have all the ass you want because women want you.
And then he finally gets the hot blonde chick in the dressing room alone and then just clams up.
Yeah. Yeah. She only wanted to fuck him as the wolf.
Yeah. So, I just want to point out that wasn't the last movie we did.
It was the last movie. We've done many
You've
movies.
You've done at least
we've
six done, since.
We've done many movies. And then, since. We did and Revenge
then,
of the Nerds.
And then does Nukalush and Ed Rooney, they have a key to her apartment?
That was weird. So then for some reason her bed is behind some – she like puts a – puts like one of those hospital room dividers up next to her bed, even though I'm pretty sure she lives alone. And so that you can only see her in shadow. And all of a sudden, Ed Rooney and Tim Robbins and some rando just come walking into her house and they're looking through at the shadows through the hospital divider. And they're like, oh my God, this duck and this chick are fucking. Meanwhile, they don't turn away. They just walk right up and like put their heads over the thing and are like, hey, what's up? But it turns out they weren't. His this pussy Howard is like, oh, it's not what it seems. We're just watching David Letterman. Like it's no big deal. We're definitely not doing sex, which is obviously the wrong tack. But this is where we get the explanation of what happened. Ed Rooney is a scientist, and he's like, last week in the lab, we fucking blasted a laser into space. And for what reason, I can't remember, but they were like trying to make contact and they're like, but it hit the wrong planet as though we can let that go. But we hit the wrong planet and we sucked you to this planet. Sorry. And then Howard's like, okay, cool. Just like shoot me back to my planet. And they're like, oh, I don't think we can do that. Okay. We probably can. Let's do it. And so that was like solved, you know? So they go back to the lab to like shoot him into space, but something goes wrong and the whole lab explodes. And yeah, so all
they
of a sudden,
explain why it exploded?
They didn't. No, they didn't. I don't. at least it was lost on me. If they did,
like it was building to that, and then no, it exploded.
Yeah, it exploded, and then also, then all of a sudden, something's not right with Ed Rooney. Like he's.
He's
he looks a little
overacting.
At first you can't find him, right? So he's like, they're like, what happened? Oh, he must have exploded. Like they thought he like disintegrated in the explosion. Real quick though, Ed Rooney, Jeffrey Jones,
kid toucher or child porn? What was his thing?
No, we're not. We're gonna let that go.
Okay.
How fucking old is this guy? Ooh. Ed Rooney. In this movie, it's 1986. 1986. Ed Rooney from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Jeffrey Jones, the actor.
I'll say he was only in his early 50s here. I'll say like 50, he's 50 even.
50 years old. 5-0 in 1986. Ed Daly, what do you think? Jeffrey Jones, or I'm sorry, Jason Stewart. We have so many guests to do these movies, and it's rare that it's you. Yeah. Jason Stewart, how old is Jeffrey Jones during this movie?
I'd give him 72 now. So
you've looked it up. So you've looked it up.
No,
you're such you shit on everything.
No, this is a total guess. I give him 72 right now. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Oh my God!
Yeah, you destroy every joke.
Because I was
so he was.
What that made
by the way, after the explosion, I think it's worth pointing out. So the Cleveland cops roll in, and they're trying to. Some cop instructs his boys to rip off Howard's clothes, and he's fighting back. And these Cleveland cops can't get it done. Now these are the same Cleveland cops that murdered 12-year-old Tamir Rice, but yet a 3-foot duck. They couldn't handle.
And he does the old switcheroo where he's handcuffed. I think he's handcuffed. And he lights a cigar. And then he flings his cigar into the trash. And the trash catches on fire. And the cop's like, I need to stick my whole head and body into the trash. Like, just let the trash burn. What's going to happen? It's in a trash can. And it's on fire. And just let it burn. He sticks his whole head and body into the trash can, so Leah Thompson and Howard the Duck can just push him over. Like it was like it's kind of like when you'd run up behind your buddy and get on all fours, and then you come up and you push your buddy backwards over your buddy that's crouched behind.
Something that
it's kind of like that.
Something that has inevitably broken like necks over the years. Like before they put an end to that tactic, before it went away, it must have had many spinal injuries, like paraplegic incidents. That's a horrible gag to pull on somebody.
It really is. You should never do that. I don't think it's allowed. It's like that game that we used to play where you would just throw the football up and then whoever caught it had to just run away.
Kill the guy with the ball. That's what we call it.
What's the name of that? What's the name of that game? I feel like it had a different name than that.
Smear to something. Something that's I'm just smear.
Yeah, they don't play games like that anymore. So then eventually they run. So Leah Thompson and Howard the Duck. And this movie is fucking going on forever. Yeah, I got to be honest.
It feels like the 4-hour mark at this point.
Jeffrey
Jones scene lasts like 20 minutes. And the detective is one of those guys that was in a ton of movies.
Yeah, I just looked him up. He's called Paul Guilfoyle. He's been in like everything.
Yeah.
But he's a regular on one of those CBS shows, right?
He's on like NCIS or something. Yeah, I've never seen that show. So they're on the run. They're hiding from the cops. Also, they're like just right under some stairs that the cops are standing by, and it is very easy to see them. Like they're not like trying to put anything over their head. They're just out in the open under a staircase that anybody could see, and people are just walking right past them, and then. Miraculously, they run into Ed Rooney, but Ed Rooney's a little different. Like something's happened to him. He may be possessed by Zool. Like something's going on. He's a little different.
Yeah,
he does. You really get a lot of Ghostbusters-esque elements in the climax of this movie.
Well, it's like the villain of the movie comes in halfway. What was it? A 2.5-hour movie? So like an hour and a half in?
No, it's like just under 2 hours.
But halfway through is when the actual villain materializes. Because up to now, the only villains have been like
Howard,
street punks, or you know, managers who don't give money to the band and Howard, but. All of a sudden, a villain materializes.
That is kind of weird. Yeah, usually in these comic book movies, like the villain presents themselves right at the beginning, yes. So you know good versus evil. And even this Ed Rooney, he's not really a villain. Like he's possessed.
Right, he can't help it. And then they go to this diner that it's the woman is wearing like a samurai headband and.
It's Cajun sushi.
What?
I think they did that so they could do that very racist shot of the Japanese chef sharpening his cleaver.
Yeah.
Later, when he's about to cut, Howard's head off, they needed a Japanese guy for that role, so they made it a sushi place. So yeah, and this diner scene. I mean, it was like My Dinner with Andre. Level dragging on. I mean, it was just
it does
ages that they're. By the way, they're on the run. Like, maybe get your food to go. You know, like Smokey and the Bandit, a movie we did here without Jason. This Smokey and the Bandit, the bandit's on the run. He pops in and gets a couple of burgers to go, and he takes a piss, and then Smokey comes in and he gets a Diablo sandwich.
Right. Yeah, he's throwing the piss. And in this diner, the waitress comes over and she's all bugging out over Jeffrey Jones, even though there's a fucking duck man sitting at the table too.
Yeah. Also, she thinks the duck is a child in a costume, but when they order three beers, she's happy to serve them. I don't know what the laws are in the Ohio area, but it seems pretty wild. So eventually they get into another fracas in the diner and
she serves him eggs.
Yeah, she serves him eggs. He's never heard of pizza, but he knows what fried eggs look like despite them not existing on his planet. Then Ed Rooney's got they run into some local toughs and Howard's almost served up like they're going to fillet him, and everybody, it's like a real like end times kind of scenario, because all the customers are like, have bloodlust. They're like, yeah, kill the fuck out of that duck, like cut him up. And the Japanese chef's like, hot, 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 and he's like sharpening his knives, and he's very racist.
Like the very mid-80s stereotypical Asian in a movie. Like anytime there was an Asian in the movie, it was an Asian doing a horrible stereotype of an Asian.
Yeah, it was like the Amazing Chan clan.
Yeah, exactly. So, but eventually Ed Rooney saves the day with some lasers. But then Ed Rooney's like, "You're coming with me, ha, Zool. There is no Zool, only Zool." And he like grabs Leah Thompson and grabs her, and they take off in an 18-wheeler, and they just leave Howard. They're like, "Fuck Howard." And because he needs to take her somewhere so he can have her like implanted with like alien fetuses, because he's like some overlord from another dimension, and he wants to bring his other dudes, but he needs like Leah Thompson's womb. Is that,
I think so. Is that what they explained?
I didn't get that explanation, but that sounds about right.
That's why she was tied to the thing later.
This is like
what
does
Howard the Duck have species, to do with this?
Right? They need.
Well, now Howard the Duck's not involved. So those two bounce off.
He's just
off,
a side character?
Right. They split up. And Ed Rooney's headed with Leah Thompson. They're going to some nuclear reactor, which apparently there's plenty of in Ohio. And because he needs power. He needs like some kind of power. And, to start the car, I believe it was to start the car, she's like, we need to start the car or something. And he's like, hold on. And then like a long, scaly, purple dick comes out of his throat with a claw at the end. And shoves it in the ignition or does something on the dash.
No, it was the old cigarette lighter thing.
Oh, right. That's right. He needed power. Yeah, so he plugged his purple scaly dong, throat dong, into the cigarette lighter to get power. And they're off to this nuclear power plant. Meanwhile, the cops show back up with Tim Robbins. Tim Robbins is back, unfortunately. And Howard is like over, like playing like he's a like he's part of the playground toys. And he's like, "Hey, Tim Robbins, I'm over here." And he's like, "Okay, let me out of this cop car." So they let him out. And this is, they got to escape. Like, they're fugitives, right? They go like around the back of the diner. And back behind the diner, they open up the back of a 18-wheeler trailer. And there's like a disassembled, one of those mini airplanes that's just made out of like EMT tubing.
Yeah, and it feels like something that would be in the Muppet movie. I know.
It was you used to see him around in the 80s. I've not seen one since, but
isn't it like a hang glider / bicycle?
Is this what killed John Denver?
No. John Denver had some real shit. Like this is like, it's got like a lawnmower engine that turns a propeller, but the propeller's in the back for
it's
some reason.
It's more hang glider than plane.
But it's got, but it's powered.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're like,
there's a bicycle ladder with a fan.
And that's basically what it is. It's like one of those fan boats, but it flies. But it's got wings.
Whatever this contraption was, it must have been like real expensive to rent, because at some point someone along the way is like, "Man, this thing costs so much. We need to put it in the movie for 90 straight minutes of a chase scene."
Yes.
That scene in this fucking hang glider would never end.
Yes, 100% agree. But also, it was disassembled. So you could have written the script where they run around the back of the diner and they're like, "Holy shit, there's a fucking plane back here in this field. Let's fly it away." But instead, because they're on so much cocaine, they're like, "We got to build this thing. There's cops that I just escaped from 80 feet away looking for us. Let's assemble this. We should have this done by morning, maybe midday tomorrow. And there's plenty of vehicles we could steal, but we'll build this plane thing. We don't know where they are, but we'll find them." That works for them somehow. They build the plane. And for some reason, I guess it's because Tim Robbins is handcuffed. He allows Howard to fly to take the yoke?
Well, I was thinking how sad the scene where, you know, the extended flying scene is, they clearly had stuntmen do it, and some poor son of a bitch stuntman had to wear the duck costume while they were flying.
Yeah. At some points they had one of the little guys in the suit, and then some point it was just a dummy like attached to the actual pilot, and it's was mostly that, but there was both.
But the scene would never end. They had to somehow get to this plant. Yeah.
Well, for some reason, and I understand. I like this Howard. He wasn't a pilot on his planet, and so he was learning on the job. Totally get that. Probably not that easy.
No, it was a duck that never flew. He never flew. He never swam, right. And he doesn't fly or swim.
But the thing about the cops chasing you on the road is you're in a thing that flies. So just don't fly along the road.
Exactly.
Yeah, go where the road isn't.
And also, for some reason, I know it's like not like a jetliner. Like it doesn't hit 30,000 feet cruising altitude. But for some reason, this thing could only get 15 feet off the ground the whole time. So they're like having to go under bridges and like land on the top of 18 wheelers. With like, it's a flying thing. Just fly like a little bit higher and away from the road, and the cops will not be able to chase you because they're in cars.
I swear, I would love to know the timing on this. They must have spent 60 days shooting stupid ass aerials with this contraption. And I don't know what the tone was of 1986. I don't know if this was like state of the art and really cool, and kids got up in their seats and loved this stuff. But it was just so boring. There's nothing exciting about this stupid adventure.
It was so bad.
I remember being hostile towards the movie at this point.
Then they end up crashing into a pond at a water park, at a business park.
You know what this is? I'm pretty sure this is set as where Biff or Griff Tannen on the hoverboard hit the water.
Yes.
I think it's the same exact body of water be in front of City Hall in Back to the Future 2.
It's like they just reassembled the
outside
lot.
The courthouse, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So then, meanwhile, Principal Rooney and Leah Thompson, they've gone over to the new nuclear reactor to get power. And clearly this is a pre-9/11 situation, because the security at the nuclear reactor, very lax in my opinion. They just cruise right in. They just walk. They're like, hey, we're here at the nuclear reactor. I have my possessed buddy here. And he's like, hey, yeah, we're with the tour. And they cruise in. And so he gets the power that he needs by just walking into a nuclear reactor. And then they cruise back in the 18-wheeler and they head on their way. And I feel like I'm not an expert on this stuff, but I know Chernobyl. Like, I remember hearing a This American Life about Chernobyl, and that this woman was visiting her husband and he got radiation, and she set an orange, a ripe orange, on the table, and they wouldn't let her go near him. And then like an hour later, the orange had completely rotten, had completely rotted and withered. And so I feel like him having all that nuclear radiation in him would not have been the healthiest thing for Leah Thompson. I think she might have had, she was sterile after that, right?
No, yeah. And Filzy definitely died.
Oh, for sure.
Tim Robbins. There's no way he lives.
Yeah, definitely not. And then at one point, I'm not sure if this already happened, they get stopped at like a smog check stop. And Principal Rooney just uses like his eye lasers and just massacres everybody at the smog station. I felt like that was a little over the top. Yes, they didn't do anything wrong. You probably could have continued on your way. So what else happens? I mean, is that it? Can we stop?
I mean, at some point,
that big alien.
Yeah,
that went on too long too, because it looked awful.
But yeah, eventually,
Howard the Duck comes across this. And maybe this was explained, but I got so pissed off and bored that I didn't listen. He comes across this vehicle that has a laser contraption on it, and he's able to now use it as a weapon. Now, how did he come across that? And how did he know that this was going to be some weapon that could take on the warlord or overlord?
Yeah, that was a little confusing. They're like, so they get back and Gozar the Carpathian, Ed Rooney, he's harnessed the power of the laser. And they're like, fuck, what do we do? And out of the blue, Tim Robbins is like, oh, I can't believe I didn't think of this earlier. But in one of the closets back there, there's a military grade nuclear proton laser. Like, we should use that. And then they go get it, and they're like, "Oh well, the closet's locked." Like they're at a secure facility. I'm sure there's some bolt cutters around. Eventually, they're able to free the proton laser and mount it to like one of those golf cart type things. And so then they're like, they can blast Ed Rooney like while he's not looking. But of course, because it's a movie, they have to wait till there's like a confrontation, and then eventually, Ed Rooney, he lights them up with his laser power, and they return fire with their proton laser, and it's like across the stream situation, very reminiscent of Ghostbusters. And then there's a big explosion, and you're like, oh my god, everybody's dead. But then they're not dead. Ed Rooney, they go and check on Ed Rooney, and Ed Rooney's like, hey, I'm the old Ed Rooney. I'm not even inhabited by that overlord anymore. Like, how would he even know that he was ever inhabited by the overlord? But besides that, he's fine. And then Howard the Ducks, they're like, oh no, Howard's dead. And he's like, no, I'm over here. And but then they're like, Ed Rooney's like, the overlord left my body, so he must be around here somewhere. I'm like, how does he know that? But then he was right, because the overlord is like some it looks like kind of like a cross between a scorpion.
Yeah, it's really bad animation.
Really? Yeah, it's kind of got the face of the alien or predator. No, more the alien.
And it's got kind of these things that open and close, like these Stranger Things monster.
Yes. Yeah, it's got like that. So then I'm like, oh, we'll just shoot that with that laser that you just shot Ed Rooney with. But no one else thought of that for some reason. They're like, oh, what are we going to do? I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, just you got that thing from before, just shoot it. Eventually, I think that is what they do. Eventually, they realize they can shoot it with the laser thing, and then it blows up. And
it takes forever.
It takes ages. And then eventually, they like turn it in to – they shoot it with the laser, and then they turn it into dust. And then that's it. That's the end.
And they think Howard's dead. And then when they like
– right, and then he plays it
off him. And then he sasses him some more. They should have murdered him right then and there.
Well, he pranks him. I hate pranking. I hate people that jump out at you. I hate any kind of pranking. I hate tricking people. I don't know. I don't like that. And this Howard's like, I am inhabited by the overlord. And they're like, oh my god, it's in Howard. And then he's like, oh, it's so dusty in here. And then he's like, he was just making it up. He's pretending because he's a dick.
But they also blew up the thing that would send him back to his planet.
Good point. That's right.
Now this whole thing, I didn't think they did a great job of explaining why he of all ducks was sucked from his planet, and then what they were supposed to do with him when he got here.
Well, no,
and
no,
then,
no, no.
And then they cut off the device that got him back to his planet. So it's explained to me.
The first part was completely explained. It was just an accident. They were aiming at something else, and they just happened to hit his planet. Okay. That was a complete accident. And the return, I guess he just lives here now. He's like, he manages the band. Oh, yeah,
Robbins manages the band, right? Or no, he's like the lighting guy.
Oh my god!
Yeah, then something happened, and then Cherry Bomb's like the biggest band in the world, and
Leah Thompson, like this adventure would build their street cred.
On the news.
Yeah. They were just
wait a minute.
They were just in a cage, and now they're like performing to wherever the Cavs play in the 80s.
That's the woman who was handicapped by the overlord. We got to fill stadiums to watch that band now because she's in a rock band.
That's what it was. And then, so then Howard's like jamming with them, like they're doing the whole like. You know, there's like a whole musical.
Yeah, nobody's saying, what the fuck is that on stage? Everybody's just going with the duck.
Right. Wouldn't the government overlords swoop on that duck thing and fucking zoom it off to Area 51 and then fuck with it till it died? Like, isn't that what we do?
The premise of the show Alf was they had to hide him because the government would just carve him up.
Yeah, right. And Howard the Duck is similar to Alf. Like, they have about the same size body.
And both assholes.
Yeah, they're both jerks. That's it. You guys want to hear the song?
Yes, dude.
We're on the sinuses.
Yeah. It's the worst movie ever.
Yeah, it's easily the worst movie reviewed on the show.
Right,
probably the worst movie ever made. Keytar. We got a keytar sighting.
I'm looking at the...
They're fucking, right?
Yeah, of course.
Woo! I'm seeing here, and I can't tell because we're not getting a clear shot in the band, according to IMDb. Oh, hold on. Gotta get the chorus. So good. I don't know if I've made this clear yet, but the only good thing about this movie is that it makes me really want to have sex with 1986 Leah Thompson.
Yeah. I'm just looking through the credits. The bartender during the fight was Thomas Dolby.
Oh, nice. I love when they do that. So the band is Leah Thompson, Holly Robinson, who we know, Dominique Davalos, who we don't know, but also Liz Segal. Isn't that one of one of the twins?
Oh, Double Trouble.
Yeah. Isn't that there's two of them. Elizabeth A. Segal. Unless it's a different one. Oh, maybe it is a different one, because I'm looking at her IMDb and it's not there's no Double Trouble on here.
And you were right. There were eight Howard the Ducks. Two of them were women.
Wait, hold on. Because she was on Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
This Liz Segal. That she must be the sister of that Katie Segal.
Yeah, because she's married to that guy, Peg, right?
Yeah, Peggy Bundy.
This is my question. If you made this movie, if you're this Hayek guy, George Lucas's buddy, and you rapped and the editing's done and you put the soundtrack in and stuff, when he sent this to the distributors or whatever the hell they do in movies, do you think he thought it was a good movie?
Yeah, for sure he did. 100%. He thought it was going to be a big hit.
He was already counting the money.
I guarantee you the studio has the script that he was paid for Howard the Duck 2. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, yeah. I just remember Brian and I having a discussion, and I have to apologize to Ed because Ed did. He was the one who said this is so bad we can't do it. And Brian and I are like, that's kind of like, that's strange, because
the whole
concept of the podcast is to make fun of bad movies. But yeah, I kind of have to agree with that on this one. It was almost.
I mean, we did our best to make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
I'll be honest. I think we saved it. What we just did right here was a million times better than the movie we did it about.
And if you're thinking, well, maybe I should give it a shot. They just talked about it. It can't be that bad. It is. Save yourself the money. The worst movie ever.
There's zero redeeming qualities about it. There's other than Leah Thompson bending over and wearing that little outfit. There is no redeeming qualities about this movie. There certainly aren't any good messages. There aren't any
bad
takeaways. It's just a horribly made movie.
Jeffrey Jones can be a good actor when he's not touching kids, but
easy
or whatever he was caught with. Yeah. But he's terrible in this movie. The overacting.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really over the top. Definitely. Okay, anything else to add?
That's it. Awful movie.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not taking suggestions anymore. We got it.
No, we got this. All right. Excellent job all the way around. I really appreciate it, guys. For Ed Daly, for special guest Jason Stewart, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 256 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daly and the man Jay Stu and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus you know there's Kate with a C, but she's known as Fancy Pop to you and me. Talking loud, covers conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Thank you.